This morning, Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 through 16. Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 through 16. And I'm probably not telling you anything you don't know when I say that our eyes depend on light to see. This is why you can't see in the dark, is because light hits the retina, which is the light-sensitive layer of tissue at the back of your eye. And then special cells called photoreceptors turn the light into electrical signals. And then these electrical signals travel from the retina through the optic nerve to the brain. Then the brain turns the signals into images that you see. Without light, there is no sight. Pretty amazing, isn't it? God is impressive. That electrical signals can be turned into images, and somehow we have electricity in us, but you never have to be plugged in. God is creative. He is very, very good at what he does. And so, simply put, all the lights go out, you can't see. It's not because nothing is before you, but it's because there is no light being sent, sending signals to your brain. Now, in the passage we're going to read this morning, Jesus says, we, speaking of the church, of believers, are the light of the world. And as light, we help people see, whether it be the world who is lost or the brothers and sisters around us. So let's look at our text this morning, Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 through 16, from the New King James this morning. Says, you are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. So this morning I want to preach a sermon entitled, The Light of the World. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you, Lord, for gathering us together in this place, God. I ask that you would soften our hearts and our minds, God, to what you have for us this morning, God, that it would be by your Spirit, God, that we trust in you, God, we lean upon you, God. Speak to your children today in Jesus' name. Amen. So the idea of us being light reveals to us a lot as to what Jesus is trying to tell us. See, light is, of course, a very necessary part of life. Obviously, without light, we cannot see. We live in a day and age where light is everywhere. I mean, it's hard to go somewhere where you can't at least see a little bit. And if you want it to be dark in your house to where you can't see anything, you probably have blackout curtains, and you have to go through all of these efforts in order to completely eliminate light. The reason why we have so much is because it is so necessary to our existence. We use light every day, all the way from our ceilings, our ceiling lights to light up our house, to traffic lights to tell us when to stop, when to go, and the yellow one for when to speed up. The lighting in our devices, the lighting on our computer screens, and all of these different things that we use on a regular basis, lights are everywhere. At least in America, you can't go anywhere without having light on somewhere. I remember some time ago, before, this is obviously before we had kids, my wife and I had to have the bedroom completely dark to sleep. This is before the day of night lights that were necessary for children, and we got used to it. But up until then, we even had a little charger for one of our phones that had a little blue light on it that would indicate when your phone is charging, and I covered it up in electrical tape so that we would have not. You have to go through a lot of effort to eliminate light. Why? Because we need light. Light is everywhere. So clearly, this can mean to us that light is impactful in our lives. Light was the first thing that God created. Genesis chapter 1, verse 3 says, then God said, let there be light. And if God said it, you know it happens. And so it says, and there was light. And so Jesus in our text is emphasizing to his audience the impact that we as Christians are to have around the world. That light, just as light is necessary, Christians being an influence to the world is also necessary. Light is used for a wide range of things. If you've ever been working on a car in the dark, you need a floodlight. It's a light that covers a big range of area where you can see lots of different spaces. You don't have to hold a flashlight in your mouth to point it out. You've got a floodlight. You can see a space. It reveals all that's around you, all the way down to even lasers now that can cut with insane precision down to even less than a millimeter's precision. There's lots of different lights with lots of different purposes, but all of them have great value. And that's what Jesus is trying to tell us. That light is influential. Christians should also be influential. He tells us, you are the light of the world. He's not telling us to walk around with headlamps on and flashlights so that we can, just in case the lights go out, that we can turn them on and show people where the chairs are so they don't stub their toes. We have received the light that nobody else has. The light, of course, is Jesus. I mean, no, Christians don't shine unless they have Jesus within us. It's not so much ourselves or our nature or our righteousness that shines, but rather it's the love of Jesus within us that causes us to shine. And now we are to carry this light of life into all of the world. The point is this, that where we go, light should also go. First John chapter 1, verse 5 says, this is the message we have heard from him to declare to you that God is light and in him there is no darkness at all. So if you think about the value of light and how crucial it is and you put it into a spiritual perspective and you think that Christians, we are the only ones with any light in our life, any true light. And so those who are living in the darkness, it means that they should be able to see you from a long ways off. That they will notice you without having to be pointed out. That's the whole point of a lighthouse, right? It's a big, tall structure on the edge of a shoreline that shines a super bright light out into the water so that even when there is a storm that makes it to where you can't see 20 feet in front of you, the light breaks through the darkness and the ships know where the shore is. They know where help is. They know where to avoid or who to call out to when they need something. The same is true for us, that perhaps we may be ignored by those in the dark. They still see us. We go out to dinner fellowship at McDonald's or Mexico Lindo, our two favorite spots lately, depending on the budget. And we pray for our food. People notice that. That is shining the light. Even as we travel to conference in a couple months, as we are about to get on the airplane, as we pray for safe travels, people see that. And we don't do this simply because we want to be a spectacle to people, but we do this because we have the light of Christ within us. We need God to get involved in what we are doing. And it just so happens that what we do, people see. And it's contrary to common culture. People recognize the light within you. If you are a Christian, then you should be a light to the world. We have been called to bring light to a world living in darkness. We must be continually shining our light. We have been not only given the light, but commissioned by Christ to shine the light, to reveal the light to the world. Jesus gives us two illustrations in our text of how this happens. First, he says in verse 14 that you are a city on a hill. If there's a city on a hill, it means it's lit up And you can see it from a long ways off. You're a city on a hill. You're visible to all those around the hill. Back in these day and ages, they would build the cities on a hill. It was strategic for military purposes and various different reasons. And so you could see it from a long ways away. In fact, it's said that in a pitch dark night, none of us have ever really experienced a pitch dark night, probably. As I said, it's very difficult to get away from light today. But in a pitch dark night, it's said that you could see on a flat surface a flickering of a candle from 30 miles away. That is the impact of light. That it can cut through the darkness with such distance that even the weakest of lights can be seen from far away. And how many know that when you're in pitch dark, light draws you in? That when you don't know where you're going and you realize over there there's a glimpse of vision, that you're going to gravitate towards it. This is a beacon of hope, that a city on a hill, imagine a traveler traveling through the wilderness. They're not even sure where they are at this point. It's 4 a.m. It's pitch black. They're cold, and they see that city on a hill. Okay, I have something I can make it to. I have hope now. I have somewhere I can go now. For I thought I was going to die out here, and now I have hope. This is what a city on a hill should be. This is what we as Christians should be, that when they see us, when they're messed up and lost in their life and they see us shining on the hilltops, listen, we don't have it all put together, but we have the light of Christ within us, and they see something different about us, and maybe even they knew us before we were shining that light, and they go, okay, if there's hope for them, if that city is up there, then maybe I can get in there too. Maybe there's hope for me. And then he makes a more personal example, a light on a lampstand. This is something in a more intimate setting. This is something within a house, within a home that maybe only a handful of people see on a regular basis, people who are close and personal to you, maybe even your own family. But it is also something that is designed to illuminate, to be seen. A lampstand, this would be equivalent to just a regular lamp. Like they had actual fire back then. We now can just go and turn on a lamp. And this is designed to make it to where you can see your surroundings. You can see what's going on around you. That when we are shining our light like this, we can see the things that are a danger to us. We've all been there in the middle of the night. You try to get up and go to the bathroom without turning the light on because you don't want to go like that with your eyes, and it doesn't work. You stub your toe on the end of the bed or on an end table or something like that. Why? Because you did not have light to illuminate the dangers in your life. The light of Christ will illuminate the dangers around you, not just for yourself, but those around you as well. In fact, sometimes those living in the dark will get close enough to you that they don't have the light, but your light is guiding them in how to live until eventually they get their own light. You see, whether it is from afar, a city on a hill, those outside of your circle, those who maybe don't know you on a personal level, or those who are up close, those who are within your home, either on a regular basis or occasionally or whatever you have, that your light would shine in verse 16, as Jesus says, so that they may see. The purpose of us shining our lights is so that other people can see the hope that is within us. And that they too can have hope, that it can bring glory to God and bring sinners into salvation. In fact, the word glory almost in some dictionaries literally means to shine with honor or magnificence or great beauty, that this idea of light is still prevalent when giving glory to God. And so for us as lights, what elements of our life shines? What parts of us shine to the world around us? Well, the first one is should be obvious, our salvation, right? That we once weren't saved and now we are. We once didn't have Jesus and now we're new creations. Our lives have changed. There's fruit and evidence of salvation within our lives, and people notice something is different. That we are saved, a light that shines to the world, that there are miracles surrounding us. Listen, you might not have laid hands on somebody and performed a miracle, but you've probably at least been a part of one, seen one, been there. In fact, the Bible says that several people should lay hands on the sick so that one person doesn't have a reason to boast, right? I got the healing touch. No, it's God. It's not you. But that you've seen miracles, that you can speak of miracles so that your light can shine to the world around you. Jesus performs miracles in our lives so that we can testify of what he's done. Bring glory to his name. Mark chapter 16, verse 17 through 18, Jesus tells us, all these signs will accompany those who believe. In my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak in new tongues. They will pick up serpents with their hands. And if they drink any deadly poison, it will not hurt them. They will lay their hands on the sick and they will recover. Jesus is saying, this is what the church is going to do. That they will do the things that he did. And we see in the book of Acts, that's exactly what happened. In fact, Paul literally got bit by a snake and was perfectly fine. I wouldn't suggest to you that you go play with poisonous snakes. But God works miracles through our lives so that we can shine that light to the world. We think about in our fellowship, one thing we love to do is healing crusades. And the whole point is that we go out and we set up church in a park somewhere or a public space and we do a regular church service, but the pastor or the preacher or evangelist or whatever preaches on healing. And so we have our regular church service and you start off with music, right? Everybody, you go out to the park and you hear music, most people are going to be like, what's that? That's the whole point. We make loud light, if you will. And so people wander over, and by the time they make it over, we're pretty much done with the songs, and then the sermon starts. They hear a gospel message. They hear hope for not only their soul, but for their flesh. So many people have pain in their body. So many people have issues that they're dealing with physically. So many people have these things that you do this in a park. You're shining the light. You're giving people hope, and then you say, now you can have what we're talking about. Then you pray for the sick. You pray for the injured, and then you see miracles take place, and then they've seen the light that is shining. I love healing crusades, man. I hope that Pastor Roger does one this August again. We're going to do one someday, and because it's an opportunity to shine the light in the brightest of ways to the most lost of people. Every outreach that we do, we're trying to go out there and knock on the door and shine a light into their house. Not to look around, but so that they can see what's going on. So that when they open that door and they see our bright and smiling faces, they before we even say a word, they can say something's different about this person. They're not trying to sell me a vacuum. They're not trying to get me to join some weird church. This guy seems like he actually cares about me. This woman seems like she genuinely wants to help me. That our outreaches are geared towards shining the light, bringing the light to people's front doors. Because we are called by Jesus to be the light of the world. This is the potential of what could happen when light is allowed to shine. That when we allow the light to shine in our lives, or rather don't hinder it. Jesus says in verse 14, you are the light of the world. He's not suggesting, hey, maybe you guys could be the light of the world. Or, hey, maybe if you guys make it to the black belt level of Christianity, then I'll give you a light because I can trust you with it. No, he says, if you are my follower, you should be, you are a light to the world. This is the impact that we should have. That we are to carry this light and be sent forth into the world to tell of the redemption of Jesus Christ. That someone could get saved by your testimony. That someone could get healed by you stepping out in faith and praying for them. That lo and behold, someone from this very congregation, whether now or in the future, could be sent out to pioneer a new church in a new city or even a new nation. That when our light shines, not only do we see lives around us impacted, but God solidifies something in our life. That our convictions and our disciplines aren't pointless. Have you ever gone through one of those seasons where you're like, man, why do I read the Bible? Like, I'm just, it's a valuable time of my day. And then you come into a situation and you're like, what do I do? Oh, wait, the Bible said, oh yeah, that's why I read my Bible. Because I would have royally screwed up right there if I didn't know what the Bible said. That the light that we shine illuminates not only those around us, but our own life. It can solidify things that God wants to do. You know that light is actually used for solidifying things too? In fact, I lost my spot, in fact. There we go. In fact, dental epoxy, it's used just like it sounds in your teeth, doesn't even work until it's activated by light. It's just this goopy, you know, stuff. And light being shined on it is what solidifies it. Think about that. That the light of Christ in your life can solidify the things that you've heard, the things that you've been told, the things that you've read. That it's, listen, these are only just words on a page until they are experienced and lived out, until the Holy Spirit illuminates them to you and solidifies them in your life. The light that shines in your life protects you. It's a defense mechanism, if you will. You guys ever seen those security flashlights that are like way brighter than necessary? That's the point. That sometimes in situations, whether it's like the police or a SWAT team or whatever, in situations where they're maybe trying to avoid lethal action, they'll take an insanely bright flashlight and blast you in the face. And if you've ever been blasted in the face with one of those flashlights, you know you ain't doing nothing with that light in your face, at least nothing with accuracy. You might and get lucky. And so they do this to defend themselves, just as so the light of Christ in our lives can protect us. That when danger is coming, we can see it from a mile away. That when danger is coming, we can take the light within us, the scriptures that we know, and we can blast the devil in the face with them, and he's going to run off with his tail between his legs. That we know what the light within us is all about, and it protects us from the schemes of the enemy. That your light is shining in your own life and it's protecting you. So what are you doing with your light? Jesus deals with the issue of those who cover up their light. What are you doing with your light? Are you shining it to the lost generation, to the lost world around us? Are you using it to protect yourself and your household? Your spouse, your children? What are you doing with your light? Is it even seen to those around you? Can you even see it? A Christian who is not shining the bright love of Christ is in danger of that light being extinguished. He speaks about putting a cover over the light. Now, you can go home and put a cover over your lamp and it's not going to go out. But this, we're talking about flames. How many know that if you cover a flame, it goes out? You cover the flame within you, you're in danger of extinguishing it. But we live in a dark world and we live in dark times. And it is the light that we bear within us, that we are called to shine, is the light that can change this world and give it hope that it so desperately needs today. I think it was 2008, Barack Obama campaigning on hope and change. Well, we're 16 years later and we still need a whole lot of hope and change in this world. And I guarantee you it's not found in politics. It's found in the love of Jesus Christ. It's found in people just like you and I, shining this light to the lost world. Because true hope and change comes through Jesus Christ. And if we aren't shining that light, then those around us won't receive it. If we aren't shining that light, then we are endangering ourselves to extinguishing it within us. The change in the world around you could be found through the light that you are shining. The change that we so desperately want to see in this world could be caused by you shining your light into this world. So shine it everywhere you go. You know what? Some people are vampires, right? You shine that light, they're going to get out of here, you weirdo. Let them do that. If they want to do that, let them do that. There are people out there who are desperate to see some light. They are they're crying themselves to sleep every night. They're harming themselves. They're addicting themselves to drug after drug. They're sleeping with person after person, trying to fulfill. They're desperately searching for some light in their life, and they're waiting for you to shine it on them. Forget, dude, those people, if they want to talk back, if they want to call you a crazy Christian person, so what? Let them do it. They're going to find out. Hopefully they find out on this side of eternity, but they're going to find out. But there's someone in your life, each and every one of you, I guarantee you, there's someone in your life who's desperately looking for that light, and they're waiting for you to shine it on them. Be the light in the world around you. Don't cover it up. Don't be ashamed of it, because just as badly as you needed it in the past, other people need it tomorrow. This world isn't getting any better. And God has put it on us. Jesus says, you are the light of the world. It is up to us to shine the love of Jesus Christ into this world, to believe in the power of the gospel for those lost in the dark and the saving light of Jesus Christ. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes this morning.